And welcome everyone to another episode of the Developing Up Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Miles, and this is the podcast focused on the non-technical side of being a developer, because your career is about more than the code you write. So if you call yourself a programmer, a developer, a script kiddie, a database administrator, a technologist, a technical architect, whatever you call yourself, if it's your job to write code, this is the podcast for you. And to all the new listeners out there, I want to say welcome. Thanks for joining us. And for all the repeat listeners, hey, thanks for coming back and listening to another episode.
And this is episode 27. That's 27, which means the show notes for this episode are available at developingup.com/27. Today, I'm sitting down with a longtime development friend, Tom Feely, and we're talking about the value of always learning as a developer and how that helps you in your development career, from learning new codes to new frameworks to learning new sites. Of the business, like a little bit about design or UX. The conversation actually goes into a lot of fun directions about the value of learning something new and how to go about it as a developer. So after this conversation, we'll come back. I'll hit on a couple of key points and takeaways for you, and yeah, we'll go from there. So without further ado, here's me talking with Tom Feely about continuous learning.
Tom, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I appreciate coming. So let's start off. Why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself, your history as a developer?
Gosh, we could spend all night.
All right, I think keep it high level.
So I think the real question is, am I even still a developer? And I say that really because I've branched out into digital strategy, business automation, SEO, you know, not even to mention my actual role as a product designer. So I'm not really sure I'm a developer anymore, but I do plenty of development. So I guess once you're there, you can never escape it.
I guess that it depends on what your definition of being a developer is, because I said what you talked about, there's plenty of things where you develop within those.
Sure.
You may not be developing code, but I would still say you call yourself a developer.
Yeah, I'd say I still write code 25% of the time, which is strange given all the stuff I just mentioned. For me, code is basically, you know, front-end presentational markup. Used to call myself a front-end developer. Kind of backed off that once I realized that that actual job title exists out there and it no longer says markup only. It says high-level JavaScript and, you know, client-side frameworks.
Or so, deep-level JavaScript.
Yeah. You know, I want 7 years of JavaScript. You're like, oh, awesome. That's not me at all.
And yeah, I can remember because when we actually first worked together, man, how long ago was that? Like, was it 15 years or a little
12,
less? 12 years.
12 years?
I'm glad you know it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And pretty much what we were doing then was inline CSS, HTML.
Yeah, so we were developers or web designers back then, and I think roles have changed a little bit, splitting designer and, you know, developer off.
As that's happened, I imagine, because you mentioned a whole bunch of things you've done in your career, that you've had to constantly learn new tricks or new things or just figure out how to continually change how you're doing your development or learning new things.
I'd say for me, it's about, you know, continuous learning. I think what it means is to start to master your craft, but also start getting into the opening rounds of other career paths. So starting to take on some UX, starting to work with analytics teams. If we really got nerdy, you'd be like a Dungeons and Dragons, you know, 10th level developer and a second level designer, right? You'd start to build upon not only your own skill set, but, you know, really the collaborative skill sets of the teams and the products and services you.
Yeah, I like how you put that with the different like skill set levels, because that's what I think about in terms of development for constantly learning. It's part of it is building your own skills up, but then it's learning about the skills of other people around you, like on your team or that you're involved with your projects, that you don't have to know the nitty gritty about them, but enough so you know how your development part's going to work in with them.
Yeah. I mean, I think that you've kind of touched on it there, right? You know, there's an increased operational efficiency when you develop that relationship and that fluency of, you know, collaborating with other team members.
I mean, development has a big part of teamwork in it, and you have to learn how to work better with your team or how you feel more comfortable fitting in with a team. And like constantly learning how you can become a better team member helps your development career improve, or you figure out where you need to strengthen like any weaknesses you have.
I think you shared an article a while back about a developer who is so fantastically talented that he lost track of how to make his code and his production serviceable and readable by all the other developers on the team. And so he was actually doing a disservice to his entire project.
Are you talking about the article about like why the company had to fire their best developer?
That was the one problem.
Yeah, that's one of those things is it's good to learn to get better at what you do. If you don't learn how to work with your team to make sure they're using what you're building to accomplish things, I mean, that's a risk to your career of like phasing yourself out because you don't jive with who you're working with. And they may boot you out and you have to find something new or start over again.
Yeah, I mean, this is all part of my clever link building strategy in your transcript, right? I think it's important for developers to be continuously learning just because you'll get left behind if you don't. I mean, that can include a bunch of different things. We're talking, you know, a lack of salary increases, a lack of interesting projects, a lack of ownership in the direction and the architecture of your products or your applications. And those aren't good things, right? Like we need growth. We need, pardon the word choice, but we need development in our own lives. For myself personally, I don't think I would have gotten anywhere without teaching myself things, reading books, checking out videos, taking classes, doing whatever I could to really step my game up.
So do you feel like constantly learning is the way you've been able to like build yourself up and do those things?
The running joke is that, you know, you could stop what you're doing at any point, right? So I think that in order to not only keep up with the industry, but to get a broader sense of fulfillment, you really need to, you know, set aside some time to constantly evolve.
And that's one of the things where you brought up with keeping up with the industry, especially now with how technology rules everything around us.
Dream. Technology rules everything around us.
That doesn't sound as great. It's a challenge to keep yourself engaged with like what the current standards are. Not that you have to be at the bleeding edge and every developer has to be like the bleeding edge, but then there's the other driving factor to learn what's upcoming, what everyone's going to be switching to, what you think you want to move on to for where you are currently as a developer and where you want to go as a developer. What I'm trying to get to is why it's important for your career to constantly learn is that there are different driving factors for different people. You want a better job, you want to move up in your career, you need to be constantly learning how you can do that. If you want to just like build up yourself and what you currently know and specialize in or get better at what you do, you need to have the resources there. Or just like you want to potentially figure out what you want to do. But so like constantly learning about yourself and what you do or don't want to do, I think it's a big part of like just being a developer. It's a big part of anyone's career, but especially in development where there's so many avenues you can go down.
That
did I just blow? Looks like I just
I feel like the guy in old school is just like, that is a phenomenal answer. I got nothing left to contribute. A million points that were really awesome right there. For starters, Wu-Tang just dropped a new album. So I'm glad you threw cream out there. I think there's another side of continuously learning that's learning when not to jump on the newest technology. There's a time and a place for new technology, and there's a time to get, you know, roll up your sleeves and get the job done. Kind of encompassing all the stuff I've been through, it's the constant cycle of adapting your own learning to clients' projects. I mean, that's kind of your 9 to 5, right? Like, what are you doing in your 5 to 9 to improve yourself? For me, that was picking up design projects and really taking a whole other avenue, you know, certainly something that interested me. And, you know, I guess I went from some development into design thinking, okay, if I can do both design and development, I can build things. Then realizing I wasn't good at server administration or, you know, some of the marketing side of the house. So how do you start dipping into that? I, as a designer markup writer, probably a better way to put it, I don't necessarily need the back end infrastructure. So maybe I could build a one-stop shop focusing on how I integrate all these APIs through a, you know, service like Zapier.
But what you're doing there is you're constantly learning in your personal skill set how to take the things that you realize are not your strong suit and then augment them with what you know you're strong at, and then using something that somebody else has built to help augment that or take that off or allow you to build with the skills you have in the way that works.
I mean, now we're getting to the point where you can specifically be a developer for smart cities, interconnected, you know, transportation. You know, that's where you start to evolve your career when you're like, yeah, I work at a big ad firm. We work for a lot of corporations. Great. And then the next step is, well, I worked specifically for one of those corporations. And it's like, I joined their innovation lab. And now I'm working on you know, how we control, you know, water systems in the Hudson around New York City, all with my development. Like, you start to specialize not only in the code that you write, but in the actual field that you work in.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of what you learn too. It's, you know, starting to match your interests and where you want your career trajectory to go. And I think it's really up to the individual learner. For me, it's a combination of books and seeking out mentors. And I don't think mentors in the traditional sense, like I'm not sitting down getting an apprenticeship. But I do follow a ton of people on Twitter that are really far and away smarter than I am, much more talented developers, designers, digital marketers, whatever they are. And that gives me a great ROI, not to get all businessy on that. But I'm not paying a lot of money for books or following people on Twitter. And I think that the commercial side of books aside, which are a really great investment, you know, you throw down like 29 bucks on, you know, how to automate your workflow and teach yourself Gulp. It's phenomenal.
There's no link for the show notes.
Yeah. Zell Liu or something, I think his name is. He's in Singapore. Great book. I bought it. But the people on Twitter, it speaks to, you know, the general open source community that really likes to share their work, really likes to give back. And for somebody like me, who's never been at the forefront of development or design or anything on the internet, other than being able to watch hilarious videos, there's a lot of potential in utilizing these resources.
So what I'm hearing, you know, it's different per learner. Like, every individual is going to learn differently, and you have to find what way works for you. And what works for you is, one, books, and then reading them and learning from them. But then also what I heard from what you said was finding people that are doing work that you want to do, or ways that you want to do it, seeing what they're doing and following along with what they're doing and picking up basically what they're throwing out there.
That's, you know, what you do when you play sports, right? You're watching the professionals play and you're questioning, why are they doing what they're doing? Why are they moving in the ways that they do? Why are they calling certain plays? And that's very, very similar. I hate using sports references, right?
Well, I think it's good because, you know, how to be a constant learner or a continuous learner is, I was trying to come up with terms for these because I love coming up with terms. So one I called like introspective learning. So that's whenever you're doing something, not just knowing like how to, you know, write a plugin, how to build a front page, but more of like, why am I writing it this way? Why am I using it like an MVC framework? Why does bubble sort work the way it does? Why is the client asking for these requirements? Training yourself to ask the why questions about what you're doing and not just the how questions of how you're going to do it changes how you approach things, and you're constantly learning the reasons for things, which means you know when to use them, and understanding that gives you a better grasp of what to do the next time.
I mean, you're moving from novice to experienced, right? You know, projects have deadlines. I need to make that happen. Yeah, it doesn't need to be flashy.
For what you said for your sports reference, it's like, why are the pros doing what they're doing? So you could still do that. Like, if you're in any specialty for development, you use a specific framework in your day-to-day, you know, there's people in your communities who are like the standout people, and understanding why they are the people who stand out, why they're the people turn to or attend their sessions at conferences, and learning how they're working and why that works, and then applying that to yourself. I still think that's part of like introspective learning. And the other one I was going to do is expansive learning. And this is more of like, what do I need to learn? Like, what are the skill sets around me that I don't have yet? We touched on this already, but it's like, what do I need to know to be successful as a developer working on client projects? Do I need to know about budget and timelines and how to estimate and scopes? Do I need to know what the designers are doing and how to talk to them and translate their designs into my code? I think that sort of thing is, it's more asking like what's around you and then in learning how to spread out a little bit into those areas.
I think one of the problems developers have, you know, in general, is they just like to sit in a corner and just do the work. And I think designers fall prey to that too. They just want to be left alone, get the work done. At the heart of it is just a collaborative environment, right? If you were just going to sit in a corner and do your work, you're an artist. You're not really, you know, as a designer, it's just really art. And that's my personal take. Lots of people argue it down. But it's art until it actually has function to it. And I'm not good at the art part, right? Like, I want it to do something. And so I think you need to know, you know, you can learn about typography and you can learn about color, but, you know, starting to make something actually function is what I think separates the art from the design.
And I think it also separates, there's a difference between like just writing code and then writing code that works for what you're trying to do. And I don't know how to equate it from like art to function, besides the fact that code you write technically is art. And I don't mean that as a developer who loves to stare at like the algorithms I design, but like from a legal perspective, I mean, it's a piece of creative work. So it's like when you just write it and it's there, it's a piece of art. And then as soon as you add it to a project or users start using it, then it becomes something functional.
I think part of what you're saying, which is really interesting, is really matching requirements in this role. I think part of learning is knowing when to create something really beautiful and when to create something that just suits the needs of the actual project. I've seen some really phenomenally written markup that is perfectly commented out. And it's almost like hosting a portfolio site, right? You just have the end product and you're like, here's the image of what I created. But nobody's talking about whether that came in on time and in on budget. And, you know, you could write the best code, you could create the best designs, but you really need to learn when it's appropriate. So just showing somebody the final, it's like what math teachers gave you a hard time, you know, growing
show
up.
Your work.
Yeah, show your work, right? You're sitting there and you're like, here's the answer, I'm done. But you got to learn to show your work because it really actually matters.
That goes along with that term I'm going to try to coin now, is expansive learning. Like, it's what's around you. What are the other things beyond just the code you're writing that you need to know for what you're doing to be meaningful, to be successful, to meet the need.
I really hope you rank for that. Like, yeah, I threw that in as a keyword.
SEO all over the place.
Yeah.
And one thing I wanted to touch back on that you mentioned, there's your 9 to 5, but then what happens to your 5 to 9? And there's a phrase I like to use with my team or with other developers I talk to, is that like when you pay to go to a concert, and I know you'll get this because you're a musician, when you pay to go to a concert, you're not paying to sit there for the guitarist to practice his scales for the first hour and then play music. He's expected to practice outside of that. So as a developer, the company you work for is not always paying you to like build up your skills in there. The client's not paying you to like learn on their dime. So part of building up your development career and being a constant learner is finding that time outside of your 9 to 5 in your 5 to 9 to like be practicing. So like, and there's hackathons and coding challenges, just things to stimulate your mind where you're just practicing those base skills you need as a developer, or even the skills that's around you, like taking on a side project to learn how to budget and manage time that isn't being paid for by your clients, but then it affects and improves your 9 to 5.
Have you ever seen like Steve Vai or Satriani in concert, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, they could be practicing their skills. Yeah. I wouldn't even know it. I'd be like, that's phenomenal. It just sounds wonderful. But yeah, you've touched on something, right? It's, you need to learn outside of your job if you're ever going to really evolve your career, if you're ever going to evolve your skill set. Almost everything that I'm doing now came from, you know, learning outside of my role. When you're busy working 9 to 5, you're trying to, unless you're working for yourself, like literally for yourself, like you're not servicing clients, you're building your own projects and you've become profitable. And even then you could arguably be serving customers, right? Or whoever your market is that you're serving. For the most part, somebody's paying for it. So unless you can outkick the coverage and really work twice as hard, you know, from say 9 to 2 p.m. and take the last 3 hours to teach yourself something, you're really only growing in the direction of your projects and not a personal choice. And I think personal choice is that is what I see as the most important part of learning, is following that.
But yeah, what separates a job from a career is spending that extra time outside of your day job to improve what you're doing and get better and really focus on it. I would say to any listeners who are like, I just don't have free time to do that, like, what am I going to do? Talking to, if you work for somebody, your employer, and be like, hey, I need time to get better at what I'm doing. It's an investment in your developers.
You know, when I think of it on the other end, employees should have opportunities to grow and develop. It's the only way you can really, you know, grow and develop as a team, as a organization, as a company. And an employee should really be an investment.
If you're writing code, and you touched on this a little while back, that, you know, you're ultimately serving somebody as a developer, you're, whether it's your clients or it's your customers or whoever. Your job is not to produce something. Your job is to know how to produce it. And what you create is the end product. Then investing yourself in learning how to get better at what you do makes you a more valuable product. For your career, constantly learning means you're investing in yourself and making yourself a more valuable asset to however you want to apply yourself as a developer. And it allows you to produce cooler things or more complex things or things that you want to create.
Yeah. And there's only like a benefit to whoever you choose to work for, right? They can then increase their service offerings and potentially, you know, either up their rate or attract new business. So it's a great cycle. You know, it's really just, in essence, the cycle of growth.
So final question I have for you, Tom, and I ask this of all the guests. As a developer, what is your one piece of advice for other developers out there?
Become a designer.
What?
No.
What?
I don't know. I guess my number one piece of advice, and I hate that I'm constrained, but I like constraints and I'll follow it. I'd say learn as much as you can about the business side of development. You know, learn about the value of your work and how it relates to the client's bottom line. Even if the client's you, right? And there's no financial stake, there's still a time component. It makes you a more efficient developer. You won't write superfluous code, you know, and it'll also elevate your value to the business. You know, really, until you start to build your own product, your own company, you're going to end up reporting to someone else. So being able to articulate the value of your work, you know, just go a long way to advancing your career.
I think that's really helpful advice. Thank you for sharing that. So if anyone wants to learn more about you, where do they go? Your website, tomfeely.com?
Sure.
You want to spell that out? Because I know Feely is spelt...
There's three E's.
Yeah, there's three E's in Feely. Yeah,
TOMFEELEY.
Yeah, so go learn a little bit more about Tom. Tom, thank you again for spending the evening to sit down with me. And it's good to catch up and good to talk about this topic.
Thanks a bunch for having me. I'm really psyched. It's been a blast.
And again, I want to thank Tom for being on the show. I had a really fun time sitting down and talking with him. His website, again, is tomfeely.com. That's TOMFEELEY.com. He's also on Twitter. You can find him at Thomas D. Feely. So check him out. Give him a like. Give him a follow. Just to wrap up a couple of key points from that conversation, there's one thing that Tom had said during our conversation that I want to reiterate that I just thought it was a very powerful phrase. And that's the value of constantly learning is that gives you the chance to grow for personal choice and not just for your client needs. Think about that for a moment. As a developer, if you are constantly learning, you're constantly reflecting on yourself and figuring out what does being a developer mean to you? What do you care about? How do you want to grow? Where do you want to grow? And that's a real valuable thing for your career is knowing what you're passionate about and in which ways do you want to expand yourself as a developer. So constantly learning gives you that ability to do so instead of just learning what you need for a specific job. Now, of course, I have to bring up my two terms before I close out this episode. There is two ways of learning that I mentioned. One is what I called introspective learning, and that's learning to ask the why questions, not just the how questions about your development. Learning about the whys gives you the tool set to know when it's appropriate to use something or not use it. That makes you a more effective developer, and it grows you in that way to become a more master of your domain, so to speak. And then there's expansive learning. And that's actually trying to figure out, you know, what do you need to learn? Figure out where your strengths are, where your weaknesses around development, and not just with code. What about what's around the code? What goes on with the business that you're not as clear on? What do you need to learn to then figure out how to be better at what you're doing, how to be more effective in what you're doing? That's more of the expansive learning, learning what's around you. And introspective is learning about what you use and, you know, kind of internal. So I hope you gain some insight from this conversation and you're thinking about what you're going to learn next in your development career. You know, this episode is being released in December of 2017, which means New Year's is right around the corner for 2018. And that's the time when people look to set resolutions and new goals for themselves. And if you are looking to do that in your development career, think about what you need to learn going into 2018 and beyond to really grow. Now, if you have any more insights on this episode, I'd love to hear about them. Again, the show notes, you can find it at developingup.com/27. And if you want to share your further thoughts and opinions about this episode or any episode or just development in general, there's a number of outlets you can use. So there's the website, developingup.com, that features our full library of recorded episodes with show notes and sections for comments and conversations. You can find us on Twitter at DevUpPodcast or myself personally at MikeMiles86, or send a good old-fashioned email at hello@developingup.com or to me at Mike@developingup.com. And I'd greatly appreciate your help in reaching a wider development audience if you could leave a rating and review on iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play or wherever you get your podcast. It helps other developers find this podcast and get better at their careers. So until the next episode, I wish you happy developing.